Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, 6 Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the 6 Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the 6 Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the 6 Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Ruth, who do we got with us on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus as we pull out of the station tonight?
Well, we got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, and Ian with me.
All right, well. Hallelujah. We want to say welcome, Ian, as well as Sister Emily, and they say ladies first. Well, we'll start with Emily, what do you got for us in the way of prayer requests tonight, and then we'll go from there?
My usual, and be keeping me in prayer because I ain't feeling real kosher yet tonight.
Okay, anything else?
Also for first responders, medical personnel, no matter where they might be. The patients in all nursing homes, and I got a call from Sister Lila with a special unspoken. There's
okay.
Also a man in my building. His name is Bruce Eller, and he is asking for prayer also. So with that, I am complete.
All right, well, now, Ruth, they say ladies first, so go to Ruth now.
Yeah, I've still got my headache since I had this morning, and I understand how Emily feels. I'm not feeling good at all. But the Lord's still on the throne, and he'll take care of us. And Ian's here too, honey, if you want to get him. He's on the front porch.
All right.
I'm complete.
All right, let's see what he's got.
I'm probably just going to pray for Emily and Jen and Ruth. Hopefully their living situations get a little bit better. So, yay.
Okay, and that's it for you, Ian? Okay, and then, of course, the usual ones that I always mention, the leaders in every country that they'd seek after God rather than man, our military, our police forces, first responders, workers in both hospitals, nursing homes, patients there, and, of course, lost souls in general, blind ministry, and we know we want to keep Ian in prayer. Keep him safe as he does his job, helping out those who he has been helping. Also, the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right. Well, since we have Emily on the line with us, if you don't mind, Em, I was going to ask you to give us a little prayer over all these, and then we'll get into the show tonight.
Not trying to be a party pooper, but could we get Sister Ruth to do it? Because right now, I'm having an issue, and I will explain to you off air.
I think I already know, but go ahead, Ruth.
Well, dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with Emily and Ian, and all everybody else on the prayer list, and you know, little me too, but I'm not that important. But I just want to praise and bless your name, and just want to be with everybody, you know, whatever their prayer requests are. And Lila and her request was, I think it was Bruce Eller too. And we just want to praise your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we are going to go ahead and get into our program tonight. We got some great gospel music for you. And then after we get it done with that, we've got, of course, our message for tonight. And tonight we are going to be featuring a message, believe it or not, by a preacher that we used to know, Ruth, you'll remember him, Mike Shibley, found under Fearless Teachings. It's found, is Jesus God in the Flesh by Mike Shibley. You'll find that, just go click on HolinessBiblesForTheBlind.org. You go down to, you click Sermons, then Fearless Teachings, and then Is Jesus God in the Flesh? And you'll be able to find all the details and get yourself a free download of that very same message. And then, of course, after that, we get into Emily and her song and poem. So far, she's had her foot in the carburetor. She's right on Six Eyes back bumper, last we knew. Tonight, will she come up and tie him tonight? Or will she let off the carburetor finally and give that poor thing a little break? We will find out tonight. And then, of course, after that, Ruth comes in with her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Sister Ruth?
We got the Holy City of God.
Ooh, sounds interesting. Something we want to learn about and know about, because that's where all of us as believers will be heading. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And then, of course, we'll have more open mic time for any prayer requests you may have thought of at the end, or your questions or comments on any of the messages presented. So, here we go. Without further ado, let's get right into the gospel music and let's boogie.
Praise the Lord.
Spread my wings. by his marvelous grace. Set my feet on glory road. Gave me peace I never knew before. Oh, how sweet he is to know. Oh, how sweet he is to know.
Digit number 6 at gmail.com. in your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. River takes the mic on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show. And the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name.
Book, as it's written of him. And this is talking, of course, of Jesus Christ. And the book he comes in the volume of is the B-I-B-L-E, found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Amen.
Thank you. Every day they pass me by, I can see in their eyes empty people filled with care. Who knows where? Home they go to private pain.
Several years ago, when I was a kid in school, our class was reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day, and the school principal walked in, and he stepped in front of the class, and looking real serious, he said, "I have been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. So, if I may, I would like to recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I We, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. And wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, and that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country and to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign powers is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern, and government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation meaning, oh, so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fears, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all. For all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And since I was that small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Oh, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said it's a prayer, and that would be eliminated from our schools, too.
This here song goes out to all of my special friends that I've had to let go throughout all the years.
Here is where the road divides. Here is where we realize the sculpting of the Father's great design. Through time, been a friend to me, but time is now the enemy. I wish we didn't have to say goodbye, but I know the road he chose for me is not the road he chose for you. So as we chase the dreams we're after, pray for me. And I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that love will bring us back around again.
painted on a tapestry, see the way it has to be, weaving through the laughter and the tears. Love will be the tie that binds us through the time we leave behind us. Memories will be our souvenirs. But I know that through it all, the hardest part of love is letting go. But there's a greater love that holds us. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that love will bring us back around. Well, won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Oh, I know that love will bring us back around again. Won't you pray for me?
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLES. FORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. All right, and now it is time for the Hebrew Word of the Week by Tim Groover. Amen.
know this is of the word here, but the Hebrew word of the week, and the word for this week is none other than the very name, Yehovah. It's Jehovah in Hebrew. Yehovah. Using English letters, you would spell it according to its pronunciation, Y as in the year, E-H-O-V as in Victor, A as in Adam, H as in Howard, Yehovah. In Yehovah, sit to the Lord our righteousness. And accordingly, there is in Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah, chapter 23. We read in also Jeremiah 33 as well. Jehovah said to Jeremiah 33, verse 16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. The previous verse, verse 15, the previous verse, verse 14. The old days come, said the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I call the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And again, verse 16, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. In verses 17 and 18, Jeremiah 33, for thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and do sacrifice continually. And again, it is worth a week other than the very name of Jehovah, and it is in Hebrew, Yehovah. Till next time, Timothy Gruber. God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Hard-earned money, that water wouldn't change a thing. the odds at 100 to 1, his soul would never come clean. Then the preacher said, people, take a moment or two. There's something we need to do. Pray for the fish. They won't know what's coming when the sand starts rolling off the light. Well, the preacher ducked him under that cool, clear water, then he did it again. Eddie came up yelling, Lord in heaven, hallelujah, I'm a brand new man. Well, the water got to bubbling, sky got to rumbling, and the thunder backed up the choir. The fish started jumping, it was like they were swimming in a lake of fire. Then his mama stepped out of the crowd and started yelling out loud, pray for the fish. They want to know what's coming when the sand starts rolling off the likes of him. Lord, be with them. They ain't done nothing. Please, won't you leave them just a little bit of room to swim? Pray for the fish. He said, everybody cross your fingers, fold your hands. Pray for old Eddie, but before we say amen, pray for the fish. Lord, be with them. They ain't done nothing. Please, won't you leave them just a little bit of room to swim? Pray for the fish.
More to be desired are also then honey in the honeycomb. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me
It doesn't matter how the accident happened.
I'm just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This press officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Well, I want to give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. As I always do, I want to thank him for saving me. I want to thank him for giving me an opportunity to preach his word. Right now, I just starting to get my voice back from preaching hard three sermons yesterday. So right now, I'm starting to get my voice back. You get into the tape ministry. You grab all the three sermons I preached yesterday. One I preached on was the water bugs. The other one I preached on was worldly Christians. And I got one on Calvinism yesterday. So you're getting into the Holiness Bibles for Blind ministry. You get some tapes, you'll hear some good preaching that way. I know they're real good preaching for myself. Lord, I'm just happy, Lord. I mean, I'm seeing you preach it. So what I'm going to do tonight, I want to preach a little bit more. Kind of try to touch on the same kind of subject I've been doing a little bit on the last few days. I've been kind of looking at a lot of different kind of religious ideas, kind of religious themes. Tonight I want to kind of stick on another subject that's been like attacking the Christian world. And I want to speak tonight about the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Kind of deal with that a little bit because that is one issue that's been whacked, that's been attacked. an awful lot. There's a lot of churches out there right now that are attacking it. They don't believe he was God. I don't want to just speak directly to them ones that are out there believing he's the Archangel Michael. I want to speak directly to those of you that are out there who do not believe he is truly God. And I'm going to try to give you some Bible proof tonight and how I know he was truly God. So the title of my message tonight is Jesus God in the flesh? Father, I thank you, Lord God, for everything you're doing, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord God, for speaking to my heart. Thank you, Father, for the message, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving it to me. Right now, Lord God, I do pray, Father, as I do preach it, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, your spirit begin to work on hearts, those who listen to this sermon. Father, even work on my heart, Lord God, as I preach it, Father. Lord, I don't want to be the same way I am now, Lord. I want to be a different man, Lord, when I'm done preaching, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you for your power now, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, help my voice, Lord. Give me strength in the voice cords, Lord. Give me the strength I need in my voice box, Lord, to preach again. And I give you thanks and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Start reading here the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And the Word of God says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, keep in mind, my friends, these last days. The last days began at the moment Jesus stepped out of heaven and came down to earth. That was the moment the last days began. And I'm here to tell you the Word of God says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Number one, I want you to realize something. The only way God speaks to us today is through his Son. He's not speaking today through direct revelation like he did back then. See, the Old Testament, God spoke to him in different ways. That's what verse number one says. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners. The Bible says that God, in different ways, spoke unto people. He spoke unto the prophets in different ways. He spoke unto Moses through a burning bush. He spoke to the prophet of Balaam through a donkey. He spoke to Moses, He spoke to David. He spoke to Daniel through dreams. He spoke to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But I'm here to tell you tonight, he is not speaking to us in that way no more. He is now directly speaking to us by his Son. Jesus is the only way God will speak to us today. The Word of God says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. First of all, I want you to realize something. Jesus was appointed heir. No other man was given the heir of all things. God the Father gave Jesus the Son all heir. All power has been given unto him in heaven and earth. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has the final authority. Before you go and make any kind of decisions, you might want to make sure that it's all right with your Savior. Jesus got the authority in heaven and in earth. And the Bible says, by whom also he made the worlds. I want you to understand something, like my friends. God the Father made the world through God the Son. That, once again, I want you to hear something tonight. There is no such thing as evolution. Those of you out there that are preaching that we evolved from a bunch of monkeys or we evolved from a bunch of apes, I'm here to tell you tonight, that is a lie from the pits of hell. This world was created. This world did not evolve. This world did not take billions of years to get here. This world took 6,000 years. It only took 6 days for God to speak the whole world into existence. The billions of years theory was a lie from the pits of hell. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're out there and you believe that the dinosaurs lived this earth before man, the dinosaurs lived here for billions of years, I'm going to tell you something tonight, my friends. You might want to go back through your history. You might want to look at it, because I'm here to tell you tonight, the Word of God says man lived with dinosaurs. Man lived with beasts, the beasts of the earth. And you sit back and wonder, what happened to dinosaurs today then? I'm here to tell you tonight, they got destroyed in the flood. There was a worldwide flood. And I don't want to just kind of jump on a rabbit trail, but I want to tell you something, my friends. There's coming another flood. And the flood this time is not coming by water. This time God says he's going to flood the earth with fire. The earth will be flooded again with fire. Not by water this time. Remember, he made a promise unto Noah. He said, Noah, I will no longer flood the earth for these days. I will let it go now. But I will give you a sign of this covenant. I will mark this sign by the rainbow. So every time man or woman sees the rainbow, they know that this was the sign of the covenant that God made Noah, that he would no longer flood the earth ever again. But I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, that there is coming a day when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost will judge the world again, but this time it's coming by fire. The book of Revelation says that death and hell shall give up their dead. The book of Revelation says death and hell shall have their part in the lake of fire. The Bible says the hell burneth with fire and brimstone. The Bible says the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's coming a day when, yes, God will judge you again. Like I said, God will judge you again. This time it's coming by fire. But let's go back to verse number 2. The Word of God says, whom also he made the world. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is totally God. The Word of God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Word of God says, in the beginning. In the beginning means before anything else was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It don't take a rocket science to figure out that at one place it says God created the heavens and the earth. The next place says that by whom also he made the world. You can put two and two together and see that this Savior is God. And verse number 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I love that right there because that tells me that God is a person. God is not a thing. God is not to be mocked. God is not something that you can push and kick around. But God is a real person. And that means he has feelings. That means he has anger. That means his anger is kindled. That means that God has feelings. He is a person tonight, my friends. The Bible says that Jesus is the express image of his person. That means that when you take a look at Jesus, it's as if you're looking at God the Father. In one place, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I believe that means that God the Father and Jesus are one in essence. They're one in personage. They are one complete God. Now, the Father is not Jesus. And Jesus is not the Father. But yet they are God. You see here the Word of God goes on and says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Let me tell you something, my friend. That tells me there's power in the Word of God. That tells me there's power that Jesus holds the world in his hands by his own word. And what's his word like, my friends? His word is the AB 1611, better known as the King Jesus Version. That's the only Bible there is, my friends. There ain't no need for a new one. Why go out trying to fix something that ain't broken? Over 400 years ago, a man named King James had it laid on his heart to hire 60 men. And these 60 men, they were told to translate the whole Word of God for him into English. And let me tell you something, my friends. I believe right now the Holy Spirit of God fell upon them, and the Holy Spirit of God made sure that every single thing they translated, I believe it all came from the hand of God. And I believe that when God said in Psalms chapter 12, through the prophet David, I believe that he spoke directly to David. He said that he will preserve his word for this generation forever. He's saying that God has preserved his word. His word does not need to be changed. So stop preaching. Stop preaching. Stop going around there preaching the NIV. It's the word of God. There's no such thing as a new international version. There's only a King Jesus version. We have no need for a new word. There's only one word. And Jesus, he's upholding the world by that word. I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, that if he needed another word, that would tell me he couldn't have been God. Because if he's God, and he is God, then what he spoke must be perfect. He can't change his word one day. That'd be like a husband. Look at his wife one day and say, hey, baby, I want to go out to pizza tonight, and I'm going to take you out here for an anniversary. And then tomorrow he says, well, baby, that wasn't for an anniversary, that was for a honeymoon. I'm sorry tonight, my friends. The wife can't look at the husband and say, oh, I trust you next time you say something like that. No, wife's going to say, you lied to me. If God needs a new word, you can say God lied. You can't say he told the truth. because he needed something new because he changed his mind. He couldn't have been God, could he? The one thing about God is God cannot lie. The Bible says that pretty clear. The Bible says God who cannot lie. I believe that means that God, it is impossible for him to speak a lie out of his mouth. You know who the liar is, my friend? You know who the father of lies is? Jesus didn't say God was. Jesus said the devil was the father of lies. Jesus said, Lucifer, you are the father of lies. He's the one that's lying, my friend. And the word of God goes on and says, when he has by himself purged our sins. Now, I got one little thing to say about this thing, my friends. It was only Jesus that purged our sins. Those of you that are out there tonight worshiping Mary, and you think Mary might have been a co-redemptress, I'm here to tell you tonight the word of God does not say Mary. What the word of God says, when he by himself purged our sins. Jesus didn't need no help from Mary. Jesus didn't need no help from a pope. He got all the help he needed when he did himself. Jesus didn't look up and say, hey, Mary, you want to help me out? No, he said, I'll do it myself. Jesus looked and he said, behold, I make all things new. He went himself to make it new. He didn't need no one to help him out to make it new. My sins were purged by the blood of Jesus, not the blood of some bull, not the blood of some goat, not the blood of Mary, not the blood of a pope, not the blood of Muhammad. My sins were purged by the blood of Jesus, by himself. And the word of God says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know where he is today? Those of you out there that are teaching that Jesus is somewhere hidden on the face of the earth, no one has an idea where he is right now. Let me tell you right now, and I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, that Jesus is on the right-hand side of the Father. He's not on the earth right now. He's sitting up there. He's not sitting there on the earth, invisible, where you can't see his face. He's sitting at the right-hand side of the majesty on high. That's where he's been since the moment he ascended to heaven. And my friends, that's where he's going to be till the moment he steps out of heaven again to judge the world. That's where he is, my friends. And yesterday, my friends, I want to tell you, he's coming back. He is coming back. He is going to return. And the Bible says when he comes back, he's come back to judge. The Bible says he's come back King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He ain't come back to be a baby in a manger, so take him out of the manger. Those of you that on Christmas like to walk around seeing a bunch of manger scenes, oh, take a look at that Jesus in a manger. Here, I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, Jesus ain't in that manger no more. You know where he is? He's sitting at the right-hand side of God the Father, so take him out of the manger. And there's no need to put Satan Claus in his place either. There's no need to put the beast of money in his place. And those of you who like to walk around with a crucifix around your neck, my Jesus ain't come back to be a thief nailed to a cross no more. He's not coming back to be nailed to an old rugged cross. He did that once, and that's it. And there's no such thing as the beast of money on the cross. So take that beast of money out of the way. You better move him out of the way, because there ain't no room for him before an empty tomb. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, that you might look in. Hey, if you don't think Jesus is here, why don't you take a look back at his grave? Take a look, see, find his body. Hey, his body ain't there. He's sitting at the right-hand side of God the Father. And no, the beast of body's not in his place. Those of you might say, well, hey, I'm going to tell my kids about the beast of money. But that don't mean I ain't talking about Jesus. The Bible says that he becomes an idol. When you put anything in the place of God, you're making it your idol. And thousands of Christians out there are making the beast of money and Satan Claus and Rudolph the Snow Devil or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Devil and Frosty the Snow Devil. They're making them their God. And you might say, hey, that's not nice of you to call the devil. I'm here to tell you tonight, he is a devil. He is a devil. He's a Christmas devil. That's what he is. He came out here just to take a place, Jesus. You know why the devil don't like Jesus? Because he knows Jesus saves. The devil knows that Jesus can save sinners. So what do you think the devil's going to do? The devil's going to take everything that has to do with Jesus and try to switch it and make something else in his place. The word of God goes on and says, being made so much better than the angels. I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, Jesus was not an angel. Jesus was not the Archangel Michael. Don't go around worshiping him as if he was. I'm here to tell you tonight, when John fell out the face before an angel, began to worship in the book of Revelation, the angel said, hey, don't worship me, worship Jesus. Why do you think the angel said, don't worship him? Because Jesus was no angel. The Bible says he was made so much better than the angels. He was made better than the angels. Jesus was the greatest of kings. That's not one of my sermons. The greatest of kings came the lowest of men. Get a hold of that one if you want to hear that one. That was a good one too. The word of God goes on and says, and as he has by inheritance. That means Jesus inherited something. Listen to this. It says, obtained a more excellent name than they. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus' name is more excellent than even the names of the angels. You can walk through all the angels in heaven and say, hey, I love that angel Michael. I love the angel Gabriel. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus got a more excellent name than they do. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the word of God says that Jesus has a name that is above every name. His name is great. His name is excellent. His name is worthy. Just the mention of the name of Jesus ought to draw sinners to repentance. Just his name alone. In fact, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. That means every single man, not some. So as you preachers going around preaching Jesus came to save some, man, tell you tonight, you're preaching heresy. It's a direct heresy from the pits of hell. Jesus said he'll draw all men unto himself. And I'm here to tell you tonight that I believe he's going to draw all men unto himself. It goes on and says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. The Father looks at the angels and says, this is my son. And listen to what he says, this day have I begotten thee. I'm here to tell you tonight, my friends, this took place in heaven. Long before Jesus ever came on the earth. So the Father says, I've begotten you here. So when you go around saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus didn't become begotten on the cross, he came begotten long before that. God the Father already planned it. It already had happened. In God's mind, when Jesus was on the earth, Jesus had already been crucified. See, Jesus said, I have finished the work thou hast gavest me to do. What did Jesus mean by that? Jesus said, Father, the work is good as done. My going to the cross is as good as done because the Father knew the Son was going to do his will. And I'm here to tell you that, my friends, that Jesus did not do his will. Jesus did the Father's will. In fact, Jesus in the garden said, not my will but thine be done. He gave his all to the Father. That's why the Father says you obtain a more excellent name today. Listen, he says, and again, I will be to him a father. This describes why God, the Father, wants to be called the Father. Because he looks at his son and says, I want to be called your father. And he says, and he shall be to me a son. Jesus was going to be like the Father, a son. That's why there's Father and Son in the Trinity. And he goes on and says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. Now listen to what he says. And when he bringeth the first begotten into the world. God the Father literally brought God the Son into the world. That did not mean that God the Father had any kind of intercourse with the Virgin Mary. No, that means that it took something miraculous like that to bring the Son of God into existence. To bring him to become a man. God the Father personally brought Jesus into the world. And he says, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. God the Father said, hey, angels, worship him. Why would he tell the angels to worship someone else that isn't God? You got an answer for that question, ain't my friend? God the Father says, I will not share my glory with any other man. But here he's telling the angels, I want you to worship him. When Jesus was on the earth and the disciples began to worship him, Jesus never one time rebuked them and said, hey, don't worship me. But Jesus accepted the worship. You know why? Because those who seen him knew who he was. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Word of God does teach that Jesus truly was God, come in the flesh. You may have all your doubts. Hey, your human philosophy may say, no way. Hey, your own teaching. Hey, you may have a PhD in all psychiatry. Hey, you may have a PhD in English. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you don't believe Jesus is God, your PhDs don't mean a thing. That's all it is, my friends. And you may say, hey, I'm ordained. I got an ordination paper. You can't tell me this. I'm here to tell you tonight, maybe you do have an ordination paper, but you didn't get it from God. Any man get ordained. You don't have to be a preacher called by God to become ordained. You could be a 10-year-old child ordained these days. They'd ordain a 10-year-old child. Oh, yes, no. Well, enough to say, I love the Bible. Put him behind a pulpit and start preaching. That don't mean when he's going to preach his God's word. You can't ask a 10-year-old child to preach God's holy word. He doesn't have a clue what he's preaching. But that's to the world what you can do. But I'm here to tell you, in order for you to become a preacher, God has to call you. God has to call you to preach. God called Paul to preach. God called Peter to preach. God himself called them to preach. He goes on and says, and of the angels he says, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith. Now I want you to listen to these words. This is the Father speaking to the Son. Listen to what he said to the Son. Thy throne, O God. Are you going to call the Father a liar? Those of you that are saying Jesus isn't God, you are calling God the Father a direct liar. Because God the Father said, thy throne, O God. God the Father recognized him as God, and listen to what he says. He said, is forever and ever. The throne of Jesus is forever and ever. That's the throne by which all sinners are going to fall before. All the world must fall before that throne. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. You want to meet the Father, you need to fall at the throne of Jesus. You're not going to the Father's throne by some man named Joseph Smith. I don't care if your man says, I'm a prophet. God appeared to me in a dream. God appeared to me in a vision. You better ask that man one little question. Hey, did you fall at the throne of Jesus? The man can say what he wants, but until he falls directly at the throne of Jesus, he ain't no one. He ain't no one but a heretic. Well, and I'm here to tell you tonight, the Word of God says, if any man prophesies anything and does not come to pass, that man is a false prophet. And you know what God says? God said, label him. God said, label him. God said, don't even listen to him. Why are you running around listening to a bunch of men who claim, I'm from God? Anyone can claim they're from God tonight, my friends. Anybody can say that. But there's only one who said he came from God and meant it. And he proved it. His name was Jesus. Yes, yes. He said, I came from God. And you know what he did? He proved he came from God because all he was about was others. Right. You know one of the characteristics of God the Father? God the Father always cared about others. You say, how do you get that, preacher? God the Father, did he have a reason to love the Jewish people? Did he have a reason to set them free from Pharaoh's army? Did he have a reason to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians? No, he didn't. But look what he did. He sent a man named Moses to go in there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Why? Because God made a promise to Abraham he didn't have to make. God didn't have to make that promise to Abraham. Was there anything good in Abraham for God to say, hey, Abraham, I love you and I want to be a father to you? No. Was there anything good in Sarah for God to say, I want to give you a child and your seed is going to be blessed? No. Nothing good. But God was all about them. In fact, God allowed Abraham to receive the biggest blessing of all. It came out of Abraham's seed that the Messiah was eventually going to come. Right. And those of you that say, Well, I want to know about something else. Let me tell you that, my friends. A man named David, who had just got done committing adultery, just got done murdering his wife's ex-husband, just got done putting him to death. God still made a promise to that man and said, the Messiah is going to come through you. And yes, it was through the seed of David that the Messiah eventually came. Was there anything good in David to deserve that promise? I don't think so. But God the Father was all about David. He was all about us. There was nothing good in the world for God to send his son, but he did it anyway. Because the one characteristic of God the Father is he's always been about others. So who was Jesus about? He was about others. That's how you know it came from God. Those of you preachers said, I preach, I'm from God. How come you ain't giving to the poor? How come you ain't doing that? How come you ain't doing nothing from others? When a man walks up to you and says, hey, I need some help. My car won't start. I got to get to work. And you're holding your vehicle saying, I can't help you. I'm too busy. Well, all you're doing is sitting there watching a bunch of programs on TV. Get up and take that person to work. Be about others. Don't be about yourself. Why do preachers sit back and worry about their own money? Oh, they're too worried about their pews, too worried about the church, but they don't care one bit about the people in the church. You got people walking in the church that are so poor they can't afford a meal the following day. But preachers want to say, you know what? Let me take you to the grocery store. You know what they're doing? They're holding the money they're making by themselves. They're holding it themselves. They're driving around in their fancy little cars, living in their fancy houses. Their wives get to walk around with the fancy clothing they want, but yet there's people in their congregation that are starving, and the preachers ain't taking a second look and saying, oh man, let me do something about this. So don't tell me you're from God. Don't tell me God gave you a message, because I'm here to tell you that the one characteristic you will follow is you'll be about others. You'll be others minded, because Jesus was, and we are to follow the example of Christ. You know why? Because Jesus was our true example. There's no other example to follow, my friends. But the Bible says here that his throne is forever and ever. Jesus' throne is forever and ever. And I want you to think about something here. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Father said to Jesus, the whole creation is yours. Everything is falling to your hands. Jesus himself created the world. So yes, Jesus truly is God. He is God. Now those of you out there who don't believe he's God, you have a chance to get saved. The Bible says if you don't believe he's God, you're Antichrist. I don't want to break anyone here. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But I can't help it. If I can't help, you're hurt by me saying that. I got to preach the way the Word of God says to preach it. I'm not going to preach it. Itch your ears and tickle them. I'm going to preach to tell you the truth, because that's the way God called me to preach. God don't call preachers to preach that are going to tickle their ears. God calls them to preach the truth. It's up to God to take care of the rest. And when God tells the Son, you created the world, it's all in your hands. I don't want to call God the Father a liar. Those of you that believe in evolution, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be a fool tonight. Don't walk around being a fool. Because the Bible says, thou fool, today thy soul is required of thee. Today is the day your soul will be required of you. Don't allow yourself to die being a fool. Come to the throne of Jesus. There is enough proof in the world today to see there is a God, to see creation is true, and there's enough proof in the world today to know evolution is a mathematical lie, and it's a mathematical impossibility. The world was created. God created the world. And one day you're going to meet that God that created the world. One day you're going to fall at his feet. And if the Bible's true, which I believe it is, the Bible says every knee shall bow. and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the way it is, my friends. Now, if there's any out there tonight that's listening to this sermon, and you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, you have a chance right now to come to him. Come to Christ. Accept him for who he is. Believe on him for who he is. You can be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just sit there tonight. Just call out to him. Call upon him. You don't say some certain little repeat after me prayer. All you got to do is simply call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. It's that simple. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what the word of God says. Simply believe on him. Simply call upon him. Don't be a fool any longer. Father, I want to thank you once again for this message. Thank you for the hearts that heard it tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to preach it. And I give you the praise and the glory for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
My dog is a shepherd, just what I want. She makes me to rise early every morning. She leads me beside garbage cans and parking meters, and she restores my freedom. She guides me in the path of safety for my life's sake. Yea, though I walk through the thunder of the railroad station and among the mongrels of Flagler Street, I will fear no evil, for she is with me. The creak of her harness and the jingle of her collar, they comfort me. She prepareth a way for me in the presence of all confusion. She covereth my hand with affectionate licks and nibbles, and my love for her runneth over. Surely with affection and correction I shall follow her all the days of her life, and she will dwell in my heart forever.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
The song and the poem, I believe, it's just talking about that with both of them, it's just saying that you should just hang on to God and abide with Him and live your life for Him and not for yourself.
Well, are you 100% for sure you want that to be your final answer?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on this one.
Well. Well. Emily. You stepped on the brake. No! Oh, no. What we were looking for is there's comfort in the Psalms. Because the song was out of Psalm 15, and the poem being a remake of Psalm 23, Comfort in the Psalms. Oh, although your answer was good, no, she hit the brake. Oh, so she didn't tie up with six this week. She's still one behind six. So, all right.
And daggone buzzer got me this week. Daggone it, it's going to get blowed up. And six people prepared to buy a new one.
Well, Emily, don't you know the Bible says anger and sin not should be blowing up the buzzer like that. Now Six has to buy a new one.
Well, I don't think the buzzer is going to bust his wallet too bad, so. Sorry, bro.
All right. Well, now we'll move on with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
When the seven seas are broken
and the seven vials are open.
disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
Lesson is the holy city of God. Take the Bible literally where it is all possible, is symbolic, figurative, or typical language is used, then look for the little truth it intends to convey to the reader. In other words, when a person reads the Bible, he will come upon a tremendous amount of symbolic, figurative, and typical language. For instance, in discussing the holy city, Bible speaks of that city as prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is figurative speech, and it implies a significant spiritual truth. Another scripture portion, which we will be discussing relative to the holy city, the Bible speaks about 12 gates and a high wall around the city with 12 foundations. It speaks about the city being fourscore, with the length, the breadth, and the height being equal. The Bible also speaks about these 12 gates being 12 pearls, with a street of pure gold with a transparent glass running through the city. This is figurative and in symbolic speech, and we must remember in all of this, whether it's in the book of Revelation, the four Gospels, or the writings of the ancient prophets, the Bible is a literal book. God is trying to tell us a literal truth in all of these writings, regardless of the place in the Bible in which they may be found. That's why I have always followed the simple rule of taking the Bible literally where it is at all possible, and when I come upon symbolic, figurative, or typical language, I begin searching more diligently for a literal truth. So I know that a literal God wants to tell me a literal truth, man, a literal truth. Okay, with this rule of literal interpretation in mind, let's proceed to engage ourselves in a simple study of the great Bible subject, the Holy City. The basis for our discussion on the subject is, let's first of all take a brief look at the three great days. Distinctly outlined in the overall comprehensive plan of God, this plan of God involves three definite days. They are not 24-hour days, nor are they 1,000-year days, except in the second instance. Now, here they are. Number one, man's day. Two, the day of the Lord. And three, the day of Jehovah. Man's day extends from Adam to Armageddon. This was approximately 6,000 years in length. The day of the Lord extends from the coming of Jesus Christ at Armageddon till he eventually brings about a condition of universal peace upon the earth. This way will approximately 1,000 years in length, as the book of Revelation and 2 Peter tell us. The day of Jehovah, or better still, we could term it eternity, extends from the white throne judgment through the endless ages of eternity. In other words, in the day of Jehovah, there will be no time element such as days, weeks, months, or years. There will be eternity, the day of Jehovah. During man's day, through the various probationary periods of time, God has been calling out a peculiar people for himself. It's borne out in the book of Titus, where we read, who, preferring to Jesus Christ, gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Titus 2:14, KJV. The book of 1 Peter, we read practically the same thing, but we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. 1 Peter 2:9. All the people who have lived in the different periods of time under the various probationary conditions, which we call dispensations, will eventually make up the complete roster of inhabitants of the holy city, that is, all of those people who meet God's requirements for their day. But this we mean that in each period of time, there have been those people whom we could term lost and saved. The lost were those who disregarded the requirements of their day and age, and the saved were those people who did what was required of them during their particular period of time. Now we're talking about man's day, that period of time extending from Adam to Armageddon. Concerning the second day, which will be the 1,000-year reign of Christ, referred to as the day of the Lord. And we see that during this period of time, all phases of man's life will be brought under the dictatorial or the autocratical control of Jesus Christ, at which time all peoples upon the earth will be brought to the place where they will eventually bow down and accept him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is supported by Scripture. Let us read two verses regarding this situation. Then cometh the end, the day of the Lord, or the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and when he, Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom, referring to the earthly kingdom, to God, even the Father, when he, Christ, shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's 1 Corinthians 15:24, KJV. Now here's the Scripture. For he, Christ, or is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 17:14, KJV. Well, that part of this verse establishes the fact that Christ will one day become Lord of lords and King of kings. He doesn't occupy either of those two positions today as far as people on the earth accepting and willingly serving him to that extent is concerned. But at the end of the second day, which will be the day of the Lord, mankind will accept Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. That's going to be exciting. Near the end of this second period of time, every person on the earth will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of lords and King of kings. There's one exception, however, and that will be when Satan is loosed out of the bottomless pit and allowed to again recruit another army, because the first army will have been destroyed at Armageddon, as Revelation 19:19 indicates. When Satan is released out of his bottomless pit, prison house, the end of the day of the Lord, he will again raise another army, and this second army will again attempt to attack on Jerusalem, just the same as the first army did at the Battle of Armageddon. The Bible tells us that the second army will be destroyed by fire, which will come down from God out of heaven, and every soldier in that last Gog and Magog army will be concerned by the all-devouring fire from God. Let us read a portion of Scripture which substantiates this teaching. And when the 1,000 years, the day of the Lord, are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. And they came up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city Jerusalem, and the fire came down for God out of heaven and devoured them. Revelation 20:7-9, KJV. The reason we've noticed these verses of Scripture is so that we might understand the second day of God's overall plan, known as the day of the Lord, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, will eventually terminate with everyone on the earth acknowledging Christ as Lord of lords and King of kings. One exception will be when Satan is released out of the bottomless pit prison house and will raise a new second army to again attack Jerusalem, but fire from God out of heaven will destroy that army. Otherwise, that period of time will end with the absolute subjection of all mankind to Jesus Christ. In eternity, or during the day of Jehovah, the condition of absolute purity, peace, holiness, and moral perfection will prevail, and the earth and its contents will then be in the same condition as they were before the original fall of the first man, Adam. In other words, before Adam and Eve were led astray before the great corruption that struck this earth and its inhabitants, which was before God ever placed Adam upon this earth, there was a state of absolute beauty and purity upon the earth. Condition of godly righteousness will permeate the entire earth during the day of Jehovah. My special reason for the lesson on this subject is because there has been an excessive and undue amount of misunderstanding among both the clergy and the lay members, church relative to the Holy City, as mentioned in the verse of Scripture which we are going to use as our key verse during series of message. Okay, and I, John, saw the Holy City, through Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:2 in your KJV. I'm going to make it a statement that may shock some of you. And on the other hand, it may clarify the thinking of a great many of you. Here it is. All believers of all ages who still have been saved during the various periods of time, going back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and continuing right on through the thousand-year reign of Christ, will make up the eventual population of the Holy City. If you remember, Abraham looked for a city, and it was the same Holy City described in the last of Revelation, which we anticipated. Scripture, for he, Abraham, looked for a city, not a spiritual condition, but a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's Hebrews 11:10, KJV. This tremendous biblical fact is further confirmed in the book in this manner. For now they, referring to the patriarchs, desire a greater or bigger country, meaning to say they weren't satisfied with what they had received, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he, God, hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11:16, KJV. For there are those who teach that we are now in the holy city. This is true to a certain degree along some spiritual lines, but the complete body of believers of all ages who have fallen asleep are up to heaven, present time, underneath the altar before the throne of God. In other words, in a sense, we are in the holy city because all believers who have died, regardless of the age in which they live, are now in a spiritual state up in the third heaven with God. Now, the scripture, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:7-8, KJV. And Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. He descended into the lower regions of the earth and depopulated the old paradise in the bowels of the earth, where all true believers were looking forward to the first coming of Christ when? At death. At the time of Christ's first coming, he led captivity forth captive, taking these believers up on high and establishing a new paradise where they are at the present time. Why the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians and read these verses of Scripture. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he had also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up above the heavens that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4:8-10. In the Psalms, David said the very same thing a full 1,000 years in advance. Thou, Christ, hast ascended on high, and thou hast led captivity captive. That's Psalm 68:18 in your KJV. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he made a first mention of the holy city when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. So you can see the holy city has not yet become a reality. It will appear at a different future time. We're beginning to see the different people who have lived in the various periods of time, beginning with Adam, who were saved according to the spiritual requirements of their day, will eventually inhabit the beautiful holy city first revealed in a vision to John. The reason the different people who have lived in the various probationary periods of time will be members or inhabitants of the holy city is that as long as they observed and did that which God required of them in their day, going to credit their obedience and faithfulness as righteousness. This is confirmed by Paul. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:6, KJV. Down to the years, there have been such an imaginative speculation as to when the Holy City will actually appear, will become a tangible reality. We're very plainly told in Scripture that the Holy City will become such, not on this present earth, but on the new, freshly remade earth at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. scripture, but the day of the Lord, and Lord here should be translated Jehovah, will come as a thief in the night, in which she will, the heavens and the earth shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10, KJV. This verse of scripture, written about 30 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, couldn't possibly be fulfilled at the beginning of the day of the Lord or the thousand-year reign of Christ, because in God's overall plan, there must yet be the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. If you will look at 2 Peter 3:12, you will see that the time element is correctly interpreted, day of God or Jehovah, meaning that 2 Peter 3:10 should also say, but the day of Jehovah, and so forth. I know there have been much discussion, pro and con, trying to prove this, that the other thing, but let's go back to our original rule of temptation, which says, take the Bible really, with it all possible, if symbolic, figurative, or if typical language is used, then look for the little truth it intends to convey to the listener. So what we read in 2 Peter 3:10, that the present heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We must stop and think, when will this take place? It will not possibly take place at the beginning of the thousand-year reign of Christ. It must take place at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, or the day of the Lord, and it's the beginning of the day of Jehovah. Please note, the day of the Lord and the day of Jehovah are two different days. The day of the Lord is the thousand-year reign of Christ, and the day of the Jehovah is eternity. That was after a time which begins at the white throne judgment and continues on out into God's eons of eternities. The scriptures finally tell us that after every knee has bowed and every tongue has confessed Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings during the day of the Lord, after Satan has been released from the bottomless pit for a little season, when he will recruit another army to attack the beloved city Jerusalem, fire will come down from God out of heaven and devour his army. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9 in KJV. Now, while we, and when I say we, I mean the saved of all ages, are at the white throne judgment as witnesses against the ungodly, this present earth and the three heavens are going to be burned up by fire. We read that in 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, KJV. Naturally, some people will say, well, why is God going to burn up this piece of real estate? It seems rather foolish that he would destroy such a beautiful earth, it says. No, it doesn't seem foolish, because this present earth and the three heavens have been contaminated by the original sin of Lucifer, whose heart was lifted up by pride in the eons of ages past, for God threw him out of heaven. Heaven and the earth have become contaminated by sin, and God is going to cleanse the heavens and the earth through fire. During the cleansing by fire, the elements will naturally become a gas, but God, who has all power, will take that gas and recreate a heavenly remade earth and freshly remade heaven. Note what the Bible has to say. And I saw a new remade heaven and a new remade earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, destroyed by fire. Revelation 20, verse 1, KJV. The prophet Isaiah was able to look down through the annals of time and supernaturally see the destruction of this present earth and the heavens, because we find him prophesying a full 700 years before the first coming of Christ that such will eventually take place. For behold, I, God, create new heavens and a new earth, Isaiah 65:17, KJV. In other words, this present earth as we know it today is composed of solids, earth, liquids, water, oil, and so forth, and gases together with the heavens, wherein are the atmosphere and the planets. All of this, the earth and the heavens, have been marred by the powerful forces of satanic and endemic sin. So both the heavens and the earth are to be ultimately cleansed by the devastating fire described in 2 Peter 3, after which there is to appear a newly remade earth and newly remade heavens. This is torn out in the second of the two verses of scripture we just read, Revelation 21:1 and Isaiah 65:17. KJV. After the white throne judgment is completed, during which time every unbeliever of every age will have an impartial and complete trial, which trial will have appeared the righteous of all ages as witness against the ungodly, the earth and the heavens as we know them today, until be destroyed by an all-consuming fire. Then God will take the gases from his original creation, the heavens and the earth, and these gases he will form a new earth in practically the same manner as he picked up a handful of clay and made Adam. When he made Adam, he was not making him out of something new or out of the original earth which had been here before Adam. That's why we hear God saying to in Jeremiah, That's what the Lord said. Yet will I not make a full end. That's Jeremiah 4:27, KJV. We saw that this would be done in practically the same way in which he originally made Adam, because he didn't make him of something new, but he made him out of original dirt that had been here for literally millions of years. That's why God picked up a handful of dirt and made Adam out of the original dirt of the earth. He's not going to allow the earth and its inhabitants to come to an end of that particular time in world history. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:26-27 in your KJV. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. We find that God is going to do the very same thing again at the end of the second day of time, known as the day of the Lord, when he will take the gases, which will be the result of the destruction of the original earth and heavens by fire, and will make a new earth and new heavens. This is borne out in Revelation 21:1 and Isaiah 65:17. I suggest you read these two verses in your own Bible when we deserve the holy city coming down from God out of heaven at the end of the great period of time known as the day of the Lord, which will be at the conclusion of the great white throne judgment of God up in heaven. It will be coming down to rest upon the freshly remade earth. The Holy Spirit will be permanently established on the new earth, as the Bible tells us. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Now watch very carefully, for the former things, meaning those things which have taken place before, are passed away. Revelation 21:3-4, KJV. In other words, the earth, seas, atmosphere, sun, moon, and stars, as we know them today, together with physical mankind in its pursuit of life, which embodies everything connected with the human being, will be destroyed by the great fire mentioned in 2 Peter 3:10, KJV, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Further substantiated in the book of Revelation, where we are told, he that sat upon the throne in the midst of the holy city, behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:5, KJV. Once we arrive at the period of time when the holy city will be established upon the new earth, we'll be arrived at the ultimate goal for which God created mankind. In other words, we are eventually going to live on the new earth, its inhabitants of the holy city forever and ever, without any traces of sin, without any expectations or experiences of crying because of pain or loneliness. The holy city and the new earth will be there. There will never be any more death. We will live on the holy city and the new earth in a state of immortal bliss and happiness, just as though we had always lived there and in the same rapturous condition in which Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden before they were tempted by Satan. Now, there comes into my mind, the thought of this question might be going through the minds of many of you at this time. Please understand that when we arrive on the new earth, that have been cleansed by fire, described in 2 Peter 3, we are to receive another transformation of body, and we will then resemble the Lord Jesus Christ in every respect. For the Bible tells us, behold, now are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Everybody who is a Christian will not be changed to look like Christ when he comes in the clouds to rapture the saints. I know some preachers teach this, but everybody looked like Christ. Everybody would have five scars on his body, a nail print in each hand, and a spike print in each foot, as well as a pierced side where the Roman soldiers thrust a spear in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an incorrect teaching. We are to have an eventual change, and when we see Christ on the new earth or in the holy city, we'll be like him in every physical aspect. That's why John wrote, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Christ himself is to have another change, and he is to receive the glory which he had with his Father before he ever came to this earth in human form. That change has been given to him and to us, and all of us come back to live on the new earth in the holy city. Let's read this verse from the Bible. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John 17:5, KJV. All believers of all ages will undergo a final change in order to become inhabitants of the holy city. This is further borne out in the doctrine of heirship. Please try to grasp this great truth regarding heirship, the time when you, as a believer, will become a joint heir with Christ. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, they're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we, Christ, and the believer may be also glorified together, Romans 8:16-17. That will be the same glory He had with the Father before He ever came down to this earth. Through the doctrine of joint heirship, we will become heirs with Christ on the new earth. We'll cook like Him in every detail, and we will be sons of God with Christ. All the believers of all ages will be inhabitants of that holy city, and through joint heirship with Christ will become in every detail as Jesus Christ will be at that time. All the saved of all ages together with Jesus Christ, because of joint heirship, will come back to the new earth and live in the holy city. And their memories having been blanked, and they'll live in that beautiful holy city without any memory of the past. There'll never be any remembrance of being lived in this present world of sin after the last change was taken place in the believer. That's why the Bible tells us, for the former things are passed away, Revelation 21:4, behold, I will make all things new. That's Revelation 21:5. But this doesn't mean to say that nothing with which we have been associated in this present life will exist in our new lives, the eternal citizens of the holy city. Isaiah foresaw this as he was able to look down through some 3,600 years of prospective world history. And we hear him saying, Scripture, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah 65:17, KJV. The inhabitants of the holy city will live in that city eternally in a state of complete righteousness and will do so without any memory of the past. The individual citizen of the holy city will never remember having been a mother, father, or son, or a daughter. All will be changed, and we will remain in that state of holiness as joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, having received our final change to be like Christ forever and ever and ever. Say it all night, or night if you want to. The wonderful fact is we will be there forever with Christ in a permanently changed condition living in the holy city. Therefore, the real purpose for proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today is not to make people Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Lutherans, members of the Assembly of God, or of the Church of the Four Square Gospel, or any of the other more than 200 different denominations, but the purpose of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today is to make its citizens through the new birth of the holy city. That's why the Bible says, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5, KJV. That's what is taking place at the present time. God is building the holy city, which will eventually be inhabited by the completed body of the peculiar people of God, where it takes its final position on the new earth. In concluding this lesson on the subject of the holy city, allow me to caution you with a loving concern. In the holy city, there will not appear the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, for these will have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:8, KJV. In case someone might think this verse, which we have just read, doesn't mean what it says, God repeated the thought later in Revelation 21:27, KJV. Scripture, and there shall be in no wise enter into it the holy city anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, they were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21:27, KJV. The big question today is not whether you're Baptist, Methodist, and these things are good, because we have to have denominations, but denominations are absolutely necessary for some people. Some people couldn't worship God if they weren't connected with a denomination, but the real big question is, has your name been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, enabling you to become a citizen of the Holy City, which will eventually rest on the new earth and will remain there throughout the ends of God's eternity during the Day of Jehovah. That's why the Bible says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, meaning God's, but the earth, please think this on the last phrase, but the earth hath he given to the children of men, Psalm 115:16, KJV. That's why we'll come back to the earth as inhabitants of the holy city, which is to rest on the earth forever and ever and ever. God the Father is going to remain up in the heavens because the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. I would suggest that your very earliest opportunity, you get alone in some place where you'll be not interrupted. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation and read chapter 21 and 22, both of them. using the role of interpretation, which we have discussed in this series of messages. Take the Bible literally, where it's all possible if symbolic, figurative, or typical language is used, then look for the little turd in tension and say to the reader. With this rule of little interpretation in mind, as we read chapter 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation, you are no doubt going to get a refreshing new insight into the holy city. Believe me, my dear friends, miss everything on this earth, but don't miss the holy city. You get into the holy city by having your name written during this life in the Lamb's Book of Life. The privilege of being an inhabitant of the holy city will be determined by the fact as to whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who was slain before the foundation of the world, coming back to live on the new earth in the holy city with those of us who are the sons of God and through the doctrine of joint heirship, which are going to be changed to be like him. Then on the third day of this overall plan, the day of Jehovah, that space of time known as eternity, God will have a peculiar people for himself living here in a beautiful holy city on a freshly renewed earth where sin will never again have any effect. That's why I urge people in all of the messages or lessons where there is on the Six Eyes Radio Network or any other people who proclaim the gospel, and to be sure their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so the next lesson will be, what about miracles?
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, EYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And as we pull into the station with the old gospel bus, who do we got with us, Sister Ruth?
Well, we always have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you and me right now.
Okay. Well, with that, obviously, there's not many questions here. So why don't you just go ahead, give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight.
Well, Lord, we praise and bless your name and hope everybody enjoyed the program and all those 100 countries. And we just love and praise your name. And you know all the prayer requests because I'm a little bit tired tonight. So I'll just leave it at that and let you handle it. So we just pray and praise and bless your name. I'm going to serve you always, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And just want a last reminder, remind everybody about the shows coming up tomorrow. First off, on Station 1, Six Eyes Radio Network, you call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340. At 1 p.m., its new slot in the lineup is the Word of the King. That's where it's been moved to. So tomorrow at 1 p.m., the Word of the King on Station 2, 515-605-9340. And then, of course, tomorrow evening on this same station, Station 1, 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617 at 9 p.m., The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. We'll see you tomorrow for both shows. God bless. Good night. From everybody here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, God bless.
Love y'all.